Ladies and gentlemen, if you can take your seats, we'll get started. Thank you very much. I'm Charlie Holleran, the Vice President of Communications. Let me welcome you to Digital Equipment Corporation and Bob Palmer's first day on the job. Bob wanted to spend part of this day with the people who analyze and report on digital, and I'll bring them up in a second. I wanted you to know that with us today by satellite feed are audiences in Toronto, Stockholm, Paris, Mountain View, California, London, and Caracas, Venezuela, where customers and media are celebrating the grand opening of our new subsidiary in Venezuela. Other locations will also participate in the Q&A. Without further ado, let me introduce Digital's new president and chief executive officer, Bob Palmer.
Thank you, Charlie.
Welcome, and thank you for your interest in digital. Digital is going to change. It's time for a clear direction with a focus on meeting our customers' needs. It will take time to bring about all the changes that are necessary, but we're going to begin today. This morning's session is the start of an ongoing dialogue that I expect will lead toward a positive, open relationship between us. I value your views and insight, and I intend to be as willing to listen to you as I am to share my thoughts. Today, I would like to talk about some of the principles that will guide my management of digital as we return to profitable growth. Remember that digital has had a profound impact on the computer industry for 35 years. Digital pioneered interactive computing and changed the way people use computers. We were one of the first to understand the importance of networking and interoperability across a wide range of systems. And we built a global delivery and service infrastructure to serve our customers that is the envy of many of our competitors. And digital will have a powerful impact in the future as well. It's true that we shall do so in dramatically altered circumstances. At the least, digital is facing a much more competitive environment than it has ever faced before. Driven by open systems and by breakthroughs in silicon technology, a massive change has been sweeping through our industry. The historically high margins on hardware and the business model upon which digital was built are no longer sustainable. As computer hardware performance skyrockets, open systems and the competitive process are driving down prices, squeezing margins, and requiring that we lower our cost of doing business. We understand that very clearly. It comes to us in the almost paradoxical messages that we get from our customers. In terms of hardware, customers have never been as empowered to control the market as they are today. At the same time, the rapidity of technical change and the difficulty of integrating divergent systems has had an unsettling effect on many customers. Some customers are outsourcing, delegating total management of their computers to us. Others are seeking a greater level of advice, support, and partnership from digital than ever before. The implications of supporting customers in these and all other situations must be the same for us. The customer must be the primary focus of everything that we do. This dictates measuring our strategy against relatively simple criteria. First, does it help us more effectively meet customer needs? Second, does it enable us to be more competitive as a company? Using these criteria, digital is putting its emphasis on services, software, networking, silicon, storage, and open systems, and we will match the appropriate sales and distribution channels to the appropriate products and services. All customers want excellent products at low cost with fast delivery. Some also want more complex solutions to increase their competitive advantage in their industries. We know how to provide these solutions. They often require our leading networking and multi-vendor service capability on a global basis. We also understand that customers do not have to buy from digital. They have many alternatives. As a result, we are organizing and focusing ourselves in such a way that customers prefer to buy from digital. Prefer us not only because we have the best solutions for our customers, but because we stand behind them. The focus is on delivering what will add value to our customers in a way that makes it easy for them to buy. This means that each part of the company must operate to standards of quality, excellence, profitability, competitive differentiation that fits its unique business model. PCs are a good example. Our original entrance into that business was rocky at best. We've had to learn how to succeed in a customer-driven commodity business with low margins, where differentiation may be in distribution or manufacturing costs. We re-entered this market with high-quality digital PCs that were outsourced for digital to our specifications. With favorable response by customers to our products and product quality, we turned to low-cost distribution, building on and extending our direct marketing and teleselling capabilities. We set some simple goals. First, give customers a quality solution, then make it easy for them to buy. And we're doing very well. As some of you have noted, digital is now the largest mail order computer vendor. And by now using our own design and our own low-cost PC manufacturing, we've increased our competitiveness. Digital's manufactured PCs have been well received, and we expect that success will continue. The lessons we are learning from the PC business are being applied elsewhere. We are committed to the concept of being customer-driven. As our customers demand more, we intend to deliver what they tell us they need. For example, customers are demanding open systems. Open systems are driving this market. Digital will therefore do whatever has to be done to be a leader in open systems. In addition, we are aggressively investing in systems integration and consulting expertise. Digital's SI business is growing at more than 20% per year and is profitable. It represents an excellent opportunity, exceeding $2 billion in revenue in our last fiscal year. The SI business can be even more profitable, and it will be. We will continue to focus here and in our multi-vendor service capabilities. We now service more than 10,000 hardware and software products from 1,300 different vendors, and that number is growing. Digital does a better job of integrating multiple vendors' hardware and software products than anyone else in the industry, and we will continue to focus on that capability. That means continued development of the Network Application Support, or NAS, software necessary to accomplish the task, and continued improvement of our overall networking capabilities. We are committed to expanding our industry-focused applications by substantially growing the number of our software partners. In addition, Digital's application integration frameworks, like DEC Unity in the utilities industry, DEC Trade in financial services, and HealthNet in the healthcare industry, add clear value for our customers and will continue to distinguish Digital's marketing and technology approach. The resources to invest in high value-added, higher profit activities like systems integration, multi-vendor networking, and software integration will impart them from the disinvestment in other engineering efforts, particularly in hardware. Digital's $1.8 billion engineering investment is one of the largest in the world. We are committed to analyzing and refocusing that investment. Our plan will be to reduce and reallocate funds to support research and development that promises to satisfy customers in the long run and provide an appropriate level of return. This will be a cultural change for Digital. It will require focus, discipline, and excellent management systems and skills. To this end, we will shortly announce a Vice President of Engineering, whose role will be to rationalize our hardware and software investments and ensure that they support our strategic intent. For example, we think there is opportunity for rationalization of our hardware investment through simplification and modularity. Our practice of empowering engineering groups to design their own unique solutions for some segment of the marketplace has frequently resulted in product overlap and redundancy. we will eliminate redundancy and simplify our product set. Part of this effort will be supported by new approaches to modular computing and flexible manufacturing. This will allow us to respond to customer demand by putting subsystems together in a wide array of cost-effective, flexible combinations. Inevitably, a focus on those core technologies where we do exceptionally well means not focusing on some others. Also a cultural change. Digital will stop trying to do everything for everybody, all the time, everywhere. We will work more closely with our strategic partners like Microsoft and Olivetti. We are also moving closer to our resellers and original equipment manufacturers and using them more effectively. And we are recommitting and, if necessary, reinvesting in our applications partners. In fact, we're working with and supporting every conceivable channel that will help us be more effective in delivering our products and services in a timely and cost-effective manner. This is especially true as we continue to roll out Alpha AXP, the next major generation of computing. Alpha AXP systems are themselves the fruit of major investments in design tools, simulation and verification tools, process development, and manufacturing technology, and it's paid off. Having a relatively small, captive semiconductor operation produce the world's fastest microprocessor, and having the circuits work the first time, is an astounding feat. I know of no other company that has been able to do that. Digital will continue to invest in semiconductor technology and manufacturing as a core competency. Having the industry's hottest chip, of course, is only part of the job. Making Alpha AXP a universal computer, operating effectively with multiple operating systems like Unix, NT, and OpenVMS is also important. To complete the job for customer needs, though, means having the applications, the software, systems, and service, and making it all easy to buy. We will deliver these, as well as all our other products and services, according to the highest standards of excellence in this industry. To summarize, our product and service strategy will be to focus on investing in services, software, networking, silicon, and storage. Rationalize and modularize our hardware offerings to provide sales and distribution mechanisms appropriate to our business models and the way that our customers want to buy, to lead the industry in multi-vendor interoperability and integration, to lead in open systems supporting Unix, NT, and OpenVMS, and to keep the focus at all times on delivering complete solutions for our customers. Of course, as Digital implements these strategies, my immediate task is to ensure the return of this enterprise to profitable growth. I know your expectations of Digital are high. Our shareholders and customers want stability and financial strength. All of our stakeholders are very interested in our return to profitability, and rightly so. I strongly believe it is a privilege and responsibility to invest other people's money. It's something we must do wisely, and shareholders have every right to expect a reasonable return on their investment. Now, looking at the numbers of late, you might be left with a sense of pessimism. But I think there's some good news as well. We have the strongest balance sheet in the industry with $5 billion of equity and virtually no debt. Our debt to total debt plus equity ratio was less than 2% at the end of the last fiscal year. Digital has always had and will continue to have a conservative financial structure. Moody's and Standard & Poor's have both recently recognized our long-term viability publicly. Of course, our strong financial position does not mean that we will take our eyes off reducing our costs even for a moment. Quite the contrary. Reducing unnecessary expense is vital for profitable growth. And we're looking at every expense, whether little or small, large, whatever. We're looking at all of them, weighing the necessity, evaluating the return, and examining the importance of the expense. We will be deliberate in our efforts to further reduce our costs, but cutting costs is not enough. We must also be sure that every activity in Digital adds value as measured by our customers. We know this, and we're examining every step in our supply chain. That means everything that we do in product creation, manufacturing, distribution, supplier management, sales, marketing, everything. And we're already finding more efficient and productive ways to do things than we previously had thought possible. In manufacturing, for example, we've disinvested in a number of facilities that we operate. We downsized our worldwide population. We spun out part of our operations, but at the same time, we were able to improve our capabilities and improve the quality of our products. This was accomplished by examining the core competencies that we needed to succeed in the 1990s. For example, we have a core competency and commitment to maintaining our lead in microprocessor design and manufacturing. So we're investing in new semiconductor manufacturing facilities in Hudson, Massachusetts. On the other hand, redundant efforts in process technology in an area that did not provide competitive differentiation allowed for the disinvestment of our Greenville, South Carolina printed wiring board facility. The sale of that facility saved jobs and reduced cost while maintaining access to necessary printed wiring boards. Supply chain reengineering is the process that we are applying to every part of digital in order to become more competitive. This work will impact our workforce, but we're not using a top-down, fixed-number approach to sizing that workforce. Business managers are determining what set of skills and knowledge and what size of workforce they need in order to become truly competitive. And while we're not working with a fixed time limit, we recognize the urgency of this process and we're moving expeditiously. We at Digital are committed to providing meaningful work for all employees. This translates into a smaller, more focused workforce. Reengineering the work is part of the process of understanding what value each activity provides for our customers. Reengineering is a necessary step in becoming competitive and returning to profitable growth, and this process will result in the simplification of our products, services, and business practices, in the elimination of redundancies, and substantial cost reductions and increased productivity. Investment in areas that differentiate us and strengthen our core competencies, and disinvestment in areas that do not. Before I take your questions, I would like to provide an answer to questions I frequently receive about my management agenda and my personal style. First and foremost on the agenda is the aggressive transformation of this company to align itself with the changing market and the new technology in order to meet customer needs more effectively. A customer focus will drive everything that we do. It's very clear to me that a successful customer focus requires a renewed dedication to excellence in sales and marketing. Establishing this excellence is a personal commitment and will be an integral part of Digital's transformation. The style you will see from digital management is easily summarized. Increased clarity, discipline, teamwork, clearer roles and responsibilities, and accountability. That accountability begins with me. I don't expect to make excuses for my performance, and I don't expect to hear excuses from my management team. Digital will have no excuses management. Decision-making at Digital will be driven by data, and I will encourage open and honest debate, but the debate will also come to an end. We will then make clear decisions, and that is a process that I will drive personally. Accountability also includes more effective communication. For digital employees, that means a commitment to candidly and timely communicate with them. For you, it means an opportunity to report and analyze this company from a base of clear and accurate information. I'm aware that information from digital sometimes comes in informal, indirect ways and has often been inaccurate. I want our interaction with each of you to be professional, frequent, with clear lines of communication. In sum, digital will be focused on customer needs and listening to customer requirements, developing new products and services to meet those customer requirements, increasing our technology leadership, and focusing on open systems, simplifying and streamlining our product set and our organization, downsizing intelligently and with care, and finally building on digital's financial strength as we return to profitable growth. Digital has great strengths to build on and some great opportunities to pursue. With leadership products, a global sales and service infrastructure, and the creativity and dedication of our world-class employees, we will continue to be one of the few top players in this industry. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now take questions, but one point of logistics. We'll have three microphones here, and as a courtesy to those locations that are not here in Maynard, but are hooked up by satellite, can I ask you when you take your question to wait for a microphone? So if the microphones are forward. Yes.
Sir, what is your plan B in terms of operations overseas in those markets where digital has now obtained most of its revenues, namely the overseas markets? Do you intend to change your approach toward those markets? Do you intend to reduce your cost in those markets, or will most of your cost cutting come in the United States?
Our cost cutting will be globally distributed as it has been in manufacturing previously. We need to be competitive in every market that we serve. All markets are important to us, and as you know, we're one of the few companies that really does do business on a global basis. We have to be competitive in every single market. So these restructurings and cost reductions will occur on a worldwide basis. Yes, sir.
You said you would look to eliminate product redundancy. Can you be more specific about what products you consider redundant?
Yes, we frequently encouraged engineering groups to assess a market need and develop their own unique solution to that market need. Frequently, we get different products that overlap each other in their actual functionality and performance. They're not really that different from each other, and yet the engineering infrastructure, the spending, the competition between groups is a burden that we really don't need to bear in the future. So our intent is to look at the customer needs, listen to what they want, make sure we have a complete set, but that we don't have overlaps and redundancies in our hardware products in particular. Yes.
I'm curious, IBM is restructuring, splitting off divisions into forming a new PC company. As you look down the pike long term, do you see any similar organizational structural change at Digital?
I think that most of the computer companies that have been in this business for, say, more than 10 years had put in place infrastructure that was appropriate to a different business model. And so it's not surprising that many, if not all, have to do some restructuring and reorganizing. We will be announcing organizational changes over the coming weeks and months that clearly enable us to focus more on what customers want, that ensure that this management is listening to customer needs and ensure that our investments support a response to those needs. We're not organized that way today, so there will be some organizational change. I'm not here to announce the specifics of that, and to be honest, it's work in process.
Question from Mountain View, California.
Okay.
Mountain View, can you go ahead with your question?
Hi, CEO Financial Times. Can you please give us some idea of the scale of cutbacks and job cuts that you anticipate?
As I mentioned in my formal presentation, we don't start out with some fixed number for job reductions. However, we are cognizant and we do benchmark ourselves against the competitors in the marketplace, so we know what it takes to be competitive in a total sense. Our preferred approach is to start bottoms up, analyze what it takes to be competitive in each business unit, and then that all rolls up into the management total. We have obviously some reasonable idea in mind for the next year or 2 years, and those numbers are consistent with what I've read in the press that you've reported. Yes. The question, if you didn't hear it, was are we planning to put the Alpha chip in PCs? We're planning over time to put the Alpha chip in all our hardware products. It's an outstanding architecture. We believe it has a 20 to 25 year lifetime, and it should provide Digital a significant competitive edge as we go forward. By the way, digital is, right this minute, incurring the investment expense of going from 32-bit to 64-bit architectures. We are the first to do that. Our competitors will have to go through that investment in the future.
Can I get the price down?
Oh, I'm sorry. The other part of your question was with respect to integrated circuit pricing. In order for the chip prices to be competitive with other volume chip prices, it's clear you have to have volume for your chips. We believe that this will become the standard for 64-bit RISC architectures, and therefore we do anticipate significant volumes that will enable us to be quite cost competitive. Yes.
Sales force management, the quality of the sales force, especially in the corporate marketplace, and also your views entering this new job today on sales force compensation and any changes anticipated.
The question, for those that you didn't hear it, involved my views on our digital worldwide sales force. I fundamentally believe that the sales force should be compensated with an incentive program, an aggressive incentive program, some might say a commission plan. This is something that we have not had at Digital in the past, at least in an aggressive way, and I plan to change that. In the U.S., we plan to introduce an increased incentive compensation plan for our sales force starting in January. We're working the details out for that program today. In addition, it's incumbent on management to make sure that we train our sales force so that they're capable of being efficient in moving these goods and services and solutions to our customers. One of our problems is that the very complexity of our products and the way we've chosen to engineer these products makes it quite difficult on our sales force to be as efficient as other sales forces. I see that as a management responsibility, and we will correct that. It's clear, as many of you have noted, Digital has exceptionally good products and services, technology of all kinds. We found it very clumsy somehow to explain those products and services to our customers. As I mentioned in my formal remarks, if we are to return, and when we return, to profitable growth, we have to correct that deficiency, and I'm committed to doing that. Yes.
Excuse me. We have our new subsidiary in Caracas with a question.
Oh, let me take this opportunity to welcome the new employees and our new customers in Caracas, Venezuela today.
Caracas, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes. Good morning from Venezuela, Mr. Palmer. Today you have opened a subsidiary in Venezuela. What are the plans for the other Latin American countries?
I didn't hear the question really clearly, but I think it was relating to what are our plans for other Latin American countries. We see the opportunities in Latin America are growing, and we will continue to invest in developing new subsidiaries to take advantage of that growth. Yes.
Jane. When you downsize, the business units that remain, what degree of autonomy will they have? Will they have a greater degree of autonomy than business units in Digital currently have?
Yes, they will have. The question relates to the autonomy of the business units that will be emerging, really, from this reorganization. Let me say two things about that. They will not have the same character and makeup as the business units we have today, because, as I mentioned previously, the ones that we have today are not sufficiently customer-focused, in my view. So these will have more of a marketing direction. They'll be somewhat different, but they will have more autonomy in order to address the opportunities in their respective areas of competition. Yes?
Could you give us your definition of open systems?
Well, open systems, the question has to do with the definition of open systems. I bet you couldn't agree among yourselves about the definition. I've read so many different ones, but to be honest, everybody has their own interpretation. I'll give you a couple of mine. Many of our customers say open systems, they mean Unix. What we need to do is, when customers mean Unix, we need to hear it, and we need to respond with the best available Unix in the marketplace. Other customers mean they want all of the software and applications written to industry accepted standards. That's the broader definition, and that's usually what we mean. We intend to do that as well. Boy, lots of questions. Yes?
Plans to make any changes at the management level of the company? Will there be new positions, or will there be replacements for certain executive positions right now?
There will be changes in the upper levels of the management structure. For one thing, it's my opinion that we need to bring in some additional talent, some different skills from the outside. And as we go to this different organization that we're working on, some of the management that's currently in place will find more attractive jobs in the business units, perhaps. But there'll be changes. It's unavoidable that there'll be some changes.
Excuse me, Bob. We have Stockholm, Sweden. Stockholm, can you go ahead with your question, please?
Yes. Good morning from Stockholm.
Good morning.
The Swedish journalists see Digital as a technology-driven company. If you would characterize Digital in a short sentence, what would it be now? What is Digital's company mission?
Digital.
And where will the focus be?
A short sentence won't do, as I spent the entire speech this morning on trying to characterize what I think Digital will become. We will certainly retain our technology excellence. We have competitive technology today in hardware and leadership applications, and we mean to maintain that leadership. But we're going to become a company that is much more focused on listening to customers. And we're going to not try to do everything for everybody, everywhere, all the time. We don't have the resources to do that. Historically, Digital has tried to do everything completely internally. That's not sustainable. It's not affordable. So what we're going to do is rely more on our partners. I mentioned our strategic partnership with Microsoft and Olivetti, the importance of our solutions providers. Digital has got to have more of its value added through partnerships with other companies, and we intend to pursue that more aggressively. Yes?
Do you have a target for revenue per employee or profitability growth in the next 12 to 18 months?
I don't have a specific target for revenue per employee, but definitely we have profitability models, and we're far from achieving those at this minute, but we know what they are. If you were curious as to what they are what is the leadership companies in our business, what are the business models that they are achieving, why shouldn't we do better than that? Why not strive to be the best? I see very little appeal in striving to be mediocre. Why wouldn't you strive to be the very best? So our business models will be competitive with the very best in this industry, and we will drive ourselves to accomplish that. But it's going to take time. You know, people frequently ask me, well, when is it going to turn around? It's going to turn around after a good deal of work in reorganizing and rededication and refocus. Different management style, different environment. It took a long time to get ourselves in this position. It's going to take some time to get it turned around completely. But obviously, we need to return to profitability as quickly as possible. Yes. This lady here, please.
You mentioned in your speech that you're listening to your customers and looking for things that they want. Are there any new business opportunities that you think that they would like you to take advantage of?
Yes, there are. There are many opportunities. You know, Ken has said, and I agree with him, that there are more opportunities today in the computer industry than ever before. In fact, the bigger problem for Digital is figuring out which of all the opportunities are we going to pursue, because as I've mentioned many times, we've had a tendency in the past to pursue all opportunities. And even Digital doesn't have the resources to afford that. So we're going to focus on those opportunities that provide the promise of the greatest level of profitable growth for our company. And yes, we're seeing many new opportunities. I couldn't list of those this morning, would be here forever, but there are many opportunities. Trick for us is to find the right ones, the ones that are most compatible with Digital's technology and skills. One that does come to mind, though, in a very general sense, to finish on your question, many customers complain that they now own hardware and software products from many different vendors that they can't get to tie together on their networks to exchange data, to work together productively. Digital is clearly the best company in the industry to solve that problem. And we're going to continue to invest in NAS and networking capability to be even better at solving that problem. That's a huge opportunity for us where there's clear value added, and we're going to take advantage of that opportunity.
Excuse me, Bob. Paris has a question. Can you go ahead with your question, Paris?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is our question. You just said Digital would work more closely with its strategic partners Is Digital willing to buy Olivetti?
Digital's not in a position at this moment to make any additional large acquisitions. So there are no plans with this management to make any large acquisitions in the future. However, we do expect to work closely with Olivetti. As you know, we had signed an agreement with them several months ago, and we believe that has a great strategic promise. I'll be working to take advantage of the agreement that we've signed. Yes.
Since the Alpha is so important to your future, could you give us a rough timetable on the rollout? And also, are you worried about cannibalization of your older product?
With respect to the question has to do with Alpha AXP and the rollout and an issue around the cannibalization. You mean people using our architecture in the marketplace? I see. Well, we have a very clear migration strategy for our current customers from the current VAX architecture to the Alpha AXP architecture. It's dependent on customers and when they want to make that migration. We will be announcing the next phase of our rollout. You know, this is going to be an ongoing thing with Alpha. We're going to roll out some, and it'll keep getting better and better and gaining momentum over time. We'll be announcing the next phase of that within, the next few weeks, couple months kind of thing. I'm not making an announcement here today. I think it'll be impressive. But in any event, it will be growing from that point. And we expect to gain a wide number of converts to that architecture. This is the first 64-bit architecture. It's the highest performance, hands down, RISC architecture in the industry, as has been verified by many benchmarks ourselves and others. And we'll be sharing that information and so forth. So I'm very optimistic. I want to stress one thing, though. Sometimes when I read the articles, I have the impression that people think, maybe that I think, that Alpha in and of itself is going to save the company. That's not true. Alpha is an important part of our strategic recovery here, but it's only a necessary save but insufficient condition in engineering terms. Yes?
Can you give us more specifics in terms of numbers and time frame of the fire job consequences of the downsizing plans here in New England?
Yes. As soon as the quarter results are announced, we're, of course, in the quiet period now for the quarter just ended. As soon as those quarter results are announced, we'll let you know how many people had left our company during the first quarter of this year. And that process will continue, unfortunately, throughout the next couple of years. Again, the method that we use is not as swift as some methods, but it's a lot more caring, and it's a lot more deliberate, and it results in an enterprise where the wheels don't fall off. On the other hand, I'm very clear that we have to get the cost down quickly. So my forecast in general terms is that the rate of departure of employees from this enterprise will increase rather significantly. Yes?
If one assumes that the Alpha product has lower ASPs, that has implications for overhead absorption, which is more derivative from dollars of revenue than units per se, and it also has implications for the gross margin as you move from the VAX VMS era to the more silicon-based product. What kind of gross margin give up would you anticipate secularly will take place as you migrate your customers?
I don't accept the premise around the pricing that you had in your question. I'm not making a pricing announcement here today. Clearly, on a cost-performance basis, Alpha will be very impressive. In terms of gross margins for hardware, which is, I think, the other part of your question, I think that the current gross margins for hardware are probably sustainable because, although we're under significant pricing pressure, we haven't done enough yet to reduce our costs. So by eliminating the redundant engineering that I mentioned, by working on our SG&A, which has been growing much more rapidly than our revenue has been growing, by reducing the employment worldwide, as you pointed out, needs to be done. I think we can maintain hardware revenue margins, but I'm not all-knowing or all-seeing. There's no alternative, however. There is absolutely no alternative but getting competitive and doing so in such a way you can stay competitive. As you mentioned, this business is taking on, in hardware, much more of the characteristics of the semiconductor business because semiconductors are driving it. And the sooner managements recognize that fact and position themselves to be competitive, the better things are going to be. Yes?
Question on
focusing on the customer and maybe even narrowing your supply offering and supply lines, could you talk about the customer set? Who is your customer? Will that be broadening or will that be narrowing as you realign the company?
I'd rather not talk about specific customers, but I would say in general terms, we will be focusing on those industries where we believe there's the most opportunity for future profitable growth. That doesn't mean we'll turn down any purchase orders. If you have any purchase orders, I'll take them. You know, any purchase orders. But as far as investments are concerned, we have to focus those investments to support the principal industries that we're going to be a leader in. And I saw that someone printed that our goal was to be number one or number two in certain industries or whatever. That's directionally correct. I mean, we want to invest in those industries and those opportunities where we can be a leader near the top.
Bob, I have a question.
That means we can't do everything.
Bob, I have a question from London.
Yes.
London, can you go ahead with your question, please?
Yes. There's a question from David Dobson of Which Computer. Digital is continually coming out with new business initiatives. Witness the PC support service, DeckDirect, etc. If it continues to expand in this direction, does it not risk becoming a jack-of-all-trades and master of none?
No, precisely the opposite is our objective. But we recognize that PCs in particular are much more competitive, much shorter product life cycles. The distribution cost is a large part of the profitability or potential profitability. We have to organize and learn how to do that. By the way, PCs and the fact that we've learned so much in our investments in PCs and that we're doing so well with it today is not only important for PCs themselves, but my personal opinion is that many of our hardware products are going to take on those exact same characteristics. You know, so we're going to have to learn how to be competitive, meeting customer needs in commodity-type businesses in hardware. Now, that's focusing perhaps too much on hardware because, as I've mentioned several times in my remarks, our principal opportunity for real value added and differentiation is in solutions, is in solving complex problems that customers want to solve on a global basis. Yes.
We have a couple of questions. We have questions around the new VP of Engineering. Those questions are, how soon will you be able to announce that person? Is that person coming from inside of digital? And will that person be responsible for one hardware engineering group as opposed to three today?
There are several questions. They relate to the position that I mentioned before, the Vice President of Engineering. That announcement will be very soon. I would say within the next 2 weeks, the individual will be identified. The person will be coming from within digital, someone that is knowledgeable about our hardware and software products. There, it will result in a combination. You were very generous to say three hardware groups. I counted six or seven myself, and I know I didn't get them all. So we will consolidate those hardware groups into a single hardware group so that we can rationalize the overlaps, pick the best products, go after a more modular approach. You know, this. Some of you were here at our July announcement of OpenVMS and our new NVAX-based products. And Ken spoke about modular computing and flexible manufacturing. We talked about that more at that time. That's not a product announcement today, so I'm not going to dwell on it forever. But Ken had the vision around modular computing and how we could build up a wide array of different products from a set of more or less standard subcomponents. That will allow us to have as much differentiation, if you will, around hardware products as we have today, but from less building blocks, which has obvious cost savings implications and inventory savings implications. And that's something we're going to pursue aggressively.
Bob, Mountain View, California, with the question again. Mountain View, can you go ahead with your question?
Bill Frank from Monday Morning News. Your no excuses management sounds a little like no mistakes or your head rolls. And this can easily create paralysis by analysis type situations. Would you explain further your no excuses management philosophy?
Well, what I mean by no excuses management is that at this level of management, at least, shareholders do not expect to hear excuses. You know, excuses are a commodity, sort of like soybeans, but it's more widely available, so they're even less valuable than soybeans. I mean, when you think about it, it's easy to come up with excuses. What management should deliver at my level and the level of people that report to me are results, not excuses. Of course, mistakes will be made. I make plenty of mistakes. Mistakes will be made. That's sort of inherent in being willing to take and make a decision. Sometimes your decisions will not be correct. So what? You need to learn from those decisions and move on. Most of those decisions are correctable. So from my point of view, no excuses management means, fine, admit what happened. This was an error in judgment. This was this, whatever it was. But get on with it and be candid about that with your employees. We do not want an environment that discourages risk-taking. Digital has a tremendous culture of empowerment, encouragement, asking people to take some prudent risks. We want to maintain that. At the same time, we want to be sure that the risks that are taken support our strategic intent. We want to make sure that they're of a reasonable magnitude for the opportunity for a return on our shareholders' investments. I don't expect to be standing here at any time in the future making excuses for my performance, and I don't expect to hear excuses from my management. I want to hear what they need to be successful. Let me get a little more on this excuses business. What reasonable justification would I have for standing here making excuses when you think about it? Digital Equipment Corporation is one of the largest computer companies in the world. We have a loyal customer base. They want us to succeed. We have excellent technology, competitive hardware, leadership software and solutions. We have a dedicated worldwide, globally distributed service infrastructure, a worldwide first-class employees worldwide. I mean, what excuse do you have for not being competitive and returning to profitability? I can't think of any, which is why I gladly accepted this job. Yes.
You mentioned that in your initial presentation that you were going to align yourself with new technology. Could you give us some idea what new technology out in the field is to you?
What I'm saying is that we need to take cognizance of the new technologies that are there and the new realities that this technology drives. We need to understand where computing is going. We need, if you will, a clear vision and articulation for our company of what we believe the future of computing is and that our strategy aligns in that direction. We don't have that today. It's incumbent, it's my responsibility and my management team to ensure there's a process in place to develop that vision and to share that vision with our customers and our employees. Yes.
What is your view today on ACE? What role, like the lesson of ACE and the MIPS?
I think that in answering the question around ACE, I think that the lesson from that initiative is that it was well intended and it had, I think, great promise. It failed in execution. We failed in the execution as an industry to deliver the appropriate level of computing on schedule. In this business, you can't be late. You can't be late. You've got to be on time. And unfortunately, relative to the ACE initiative, the hardware didn't show up in time to be truly competitive, in my view. You're asking my opinion. I think, though, that the idea of working together to create standards for our customers, to make it less risky for customers to adopt a certain standard is appropriate. I think we, as a computer industry, need to make it less confusing for our customers to take advantage of our products and services, and that was an attempt that APES tried to do, and as I say, in my opinion, it did not win on execution. Yes?
Well, I was wondering if you might talk a little bit about the issue of having to succeed a person like Ken Olson, the 35 years, the culture, those issues are ones that I don't think can be taken lightly under these circumstances, considering the difficulties digital's having.
Well, I'd be glad to, Glenn. Nobody can replace Ken Olson. Ken Olson is a legend in the computer industry, and rightly so. I don't know of any individual that had more impact on the computer industry than Ken. Ken, after all, had the original concept of interactive computing. What you really think about it, personal computers are just an extension of that concept of being able to sit down and communicate with your computer without going through some hierarchy of priests that were managing the data for you. That was digital's vision, and it changed computers and digital, but changed computers for the world. And there are many other innovations that Ken has brought forward and this company has under his leadership. So the idea of replacing something like that is a nonsense. The other thing is that it's rare in my view, and you look at any industry, there's certain times in the industry's development, the opportunity is there for a unique individual to make a major change in that industry. So you had a unique individual in the case of Ken Olson, at just the right moment, changed computing forever. It's unrealistic for me to expect that from myself. I wouldn't even begin to. It's not going to happen. On the other hand, the value systems that Ken created in this company are also very unique. It's not common. The kind of values that we have in this company, the bottoms-up empowerment of employees, the entrepreneurial spirit that we have, that's something very difficult to get. In fact, many of my competitors, if I read what is printed in your publications, are trying to be what we have in that respect. We have that. What we need is a little bit of leadership at my level to make it clear to the entrepreneurs in our company what the objectives are, what it is we're trying to accomplish, and a little bit of more willingness on the part of our senior management to listen to our customers and give them what they're asking for. So I think that hopefully that answers your question, Glenn, a little bit. Nobody can replace Ken. He is a legend in the business, and he has earned that distinction. Yes?
Did Ken have any role or say in your plans going forward? Did he advise you? Did you turn to him for anything?
Oh, he does advise me. I asked for his advice. Actually, my style is, frankly, to listen to as many different points of view as possible and sort of weigh the evidence, make a decision, and move on. I don't do a lot of second guessing about these things. The trick is knowing who to listen to. Ken has shared his point of view with me on many occasions, both personally, just sitting down and talking, and in memos. He likes to write memos, and they're always unique. Ken has a unique perspective, and it adds a different dimension. When you look at his point of view about something, it enables me to say, gee, I hadn't thought of it in that manner. So before I make some final decision, it's helpful to me. But I listen to a lot of people. We have in digital many fine, capable, talented people, brilliant people. And with our networking, it's easy to get their advice on any problem. If you just ask for it, it comes back over the network, or people will come to see you. So we have a very informal management style that encourages discussion and debate. The trick is we haven't been very crisp about deciding. And the debates have gone on forever. And the product cycles no longer permit that. We have to listen to the data, weigh the evidence, use our best ability to make the right decision, and move on.
Bob, Mountain View, California. Can you take a question from Mountain View? Mountain View, can you go ahead with your question?
Yes. This is Norris Parker-Smith of HPC Wire. Right now, digital probably sells more mini supers and massively parallel systems than anybody else. You aren't making any. And the Alpha chip is coming along. What are your plans over the longer future for supercomputing?
Relative to the massively parallel processing, we have chosen to partner with some companies that you know about, for example, MassPar, Cray Research, and whatever, and that seems appropriate for us. Again, I mentioned in my presentation, we can't do everything for everybody all the time, everywhere, can't do it. Have to decide, okay, what areas are you going to partner with someone else and together have an acceptable solution for your customers' needs, and that's what we've done. Relative to Alpha, you probably know that Cray Research has selected the Alpha architecture for a generation of their products that they're working on today. Yes.
You mentioned how some of the numbers that you've seen reported are accurate. Does that mean that digital is planning to cut roughly $1 billion of its costs? And also, is the restructuring charge that digital took in the fourth quarter sufficient to cover the cost cutting at the accelerated pace that you're talking about?
Yes, let me answer the second part first. I believe that the restructuring that we took was appropriate to the magnitude of the challenge that we're facing, and that I don't believe additional restructuring reserves will be required in order to get our company to a competitive posture. The $1 billion. That arose from one of those informal channels of communication I mentioned previously That's from an internal document that had to do with supply chain reengineering. That's worth talking about. That process was that we gathered people from across the world with different skills and all different functions in our company, in engineering, sales, marketing, distribution, manufacturing, and asked them to analyze in a very structured way, but we had a process, to analyze the way we do business today, and from everything from when we start conceiving a product to designing, developing, manufacturing, delivering, collecting, everything. We looked at the way we do it. It's rather complex, by the way. And then we looked at, how would you like to do it? And we modeled, how would you like to do it if the objective was to do it better than anyone else can do it? The total supply chain. And we eventually put that up on some workstations. And now we have the ability to test assumptions in the new model. And we are going to move, and are moving even as I'm standing here, away from the old way of doing it to the new model. Now, the teams that worked on it were asked to estimate what would be the magnitude of the savings if we were to achieve this new model. And their numbers that they came up with were something in the vicinity of $800 million to $1 billion in recurring costs, expenses, could be eliminated, and something on a similar magnitude in assets be taken out without any loss in productivity, in fact, with an increase in productivity and customer satisfaction. So those are the numbers, bottoms up, from the team doing the work.
Flip this cassette over, rewind to the beginning of side B, please.